The epistle appointed to be read for this, the 19th Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. Brethren, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, which has been created according to God in justice and holiness of truth. Wherefore, put away lying and speak truth, each one with his neighbor, because we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down upon your anger. Do not give place to the devil. He who was wont to steal, let him steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands at what is good, that he may have something to share with him who suffers need. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Matthew. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus spoke to the chief priests and Pharisees in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who made a marriage feast for his son. And he sent his servants to call in those invited to the marriage feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent out other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatlings are killed, and everything is ready. Come to the marriage feast.' But they made light of it and went off, one to his farm and another to his business, and the rest laid hold of his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. But when the king heard of it, he was angry, and he sent his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burnt their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The marriage feast indeed is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the crossroads, and invite to the marriage feast whomever you shall find.' And his servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. And the marriage feast was filled with guests. Now the king went in to see the guests, and he saw there a man who had not on a wedding garment. And he said to him, 'Friend, how dost thou come in here without a wedding garment?' But he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind his hands and feet, and cast him forth into the darkness outside, where there will be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, from the bulletin, some emphasis: there will be catechism class this morning. And this afternoon at 5 o'clock, we will have Vespers, Sunday Vespers, and the benediction of the Most Blessed Sacrament. We have first Saturday coming up this week. And we will have, during the month of October, as is our custom, we will have the Holy Rosary every evening at 10 minutes after 7. And in all probability, it will be inside the church, because it will be quite dark at that time, and we will simply stay inside the church. But I certainly encourage those of you who can — of course, it's understandable that many of you cannot — but those of you who can should make the effort to try to come to the Rosary each evening at 10 minutes after 7. Thursday of this week is the wonderful feast of St. Michael. It is, of course, the feast day of our Father Michael, so please pray for him on that day. But the prayer to St. Michael is very important in these days of such turbulence that we are all experiencing. He has been fighting the fight since the very beginning, And he knows what we are about. If anybody knows what we are about, St. Michael certainly does. And therefore, we should remind him, we must remind him, that we are just continuing the same fight that he started years ago, centuries, eons ago. And that it was definitely remind him that of ourselves we can't do it. We have to have help. Therefore, remind him to come down to give us the help that we need in order that we can continue that work, that fight which he started. Next Sunday is the Feast of the Holy Guardian Angels. Many great feast days are coming up now in rapid succession. The Holy Guardian Angels are the patrons of our church and our existence here in our monastery. The All Souls Day envelopes are available. Again, it is time for All Souls. Please fill these envelopes out as you know how, and make sure that we have them before, return them before the first day of November. These will stay on the altar next to the tabernacle until next year, when they will be replaced with the new ones. So let us not forget the souls in purgatory. In the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. My beloved people, with all that is going on at the present time, our brains are scattered, and so is mine. And it is not easy to be able to focus in on that which has to be pointed out. Once again, we have put aside another storm. It did not happen as was predicted, but it was nevertheless very ravishing. Now, in all of this, we have to be very careful. We have to pray that Almighty God gives us each one the grace to think this out the way he wants us to think it out. I know the temptation is there for some of us to look upon these catastrophes as direct intervention of God himself as punishment. Well, maybe they are. And maybe they're not. We don't know. Only God knows that. And let us not give in to the temptation to be disappointed that more of the punishment aspect of the storm, or storms, or catastrophes, were not in as much evidence as we would like to have seen them be. We want God to show his face to Babylon. That's all right. It is all right for us to pray that God show his face to those who walk the streets of Babylon. But for the rest, let us leave things entirely in his hands, and let us pray for the grace for us to have the thought in our head concerning these episodes according to the way he wants them thought out. We should be very grateful for the grace that he has given us to be here and to give praise and honor and glory and prayer to him. That we see these things happening And from what I can gather, and it's coming at me from every possible angle, there's much more to be looked for, perhaps bigger and better and worse and greater and more destructive and more devastating things to happen. So be it. Let us, however, on our part in all of this, be people of faith, people of strength, people of prayer and penance. So long as we maintain ourselves in the state of grace, giving praise and honor to Almighty God, so long as we do that, my beloved people, we have nothing to fear. The rest remains entirely in the hands of God. But we must work to stay in the state of grace. We must work to stay and to keep alive, rather, to keep alive our faith in us, in Almighty God. Not becoming discouraged, though the temptation is there. Not becoming despondent, though the temptation is there. But rather going straight ahead, straight away, with our faces pointing straight to that mountain where the fight is going on that we've spoken of before, a mysterious battle. Our faces have to be turned to that mountain, never giving in to the temptation of weakness or discouragement, never, ever. In the past, we have emphasized certain things, which I wish to re-emphasize this morning. First, I certainly want to encourage you, those if it should happen that you do not, but I encourage you to find the time, somehow, somewhere, someplace during the day, to find the time to say, 5 decades at least of the rosary. I'm not going to suggest more. I'm simply going to suggest 5 decades of the rosary. This is no penance. It is a prayer. It is a prayer, your prayer, to Almighty God for your own protection and safety and for the protection and safety of whoever may be his children who want to serve him the way he wants to be served. Do not neglect the rosary, my dear people. There are times in the lives of many people, I've heard it said from priests even, that they have put the rosary down. And I've heard the same priests say that during those days when the rosary was down, were the darkest days of their lives. And it was only when they picked the rosary back up again that the light began to shine again. Don't neglect the rosary. My beloved people, I wish also to re-encourage you, if you have not so far done so, to in these days of complete uncertainty and confusion, to find that little spot in your house, in your home, where you can set up a little chapel for yourselves. This is ever so important, a little place where you can go and find the peace that is yours to have. A place in your house where there's no foolishness, where there's no noise, where there is nothing that interferes with the peace that you hope to obtain by going to that tiny little nook. Nothing elaborate, but simple. No play place, no place for the children to play around, that they should be taught to stay out of that area. And to give it the respect, they will learn, and they will give it the understanding that that little place deserves and must have. In these days, where our holy religion is being trampled upon, even by those who profess to be its protectors, you have to have a place you can go to feel safe. Another practice that I want to encourage upon all of you who have children especially, we've talked about it here some weeks ago, of each evening the father of the family gathers his family together, picks up the crucifix, and blesses his family. As I've mentioned to you, observed to you before, that this seems awkward. And I've had several people, several men, especially awkward for the men, but I've had several to come to me since that was mentioned, and they were very honest about it, very candid about it. They said, the first time I tried that, I felt absolutely terrible. I felt stupid. I felt out of place. I didn't want to do it. But my children were waiting. And I picked up the crucifix and I blessed my family. And ever after that, he said, they said, I'll speak in the first person singular, I found it to be something beautiful beyond my ability to describe it. That I, my family at my feet, realizing that I, in my sinfulness, in my unworthiness, I'm somehow taking the place of Jesus Christ before my family, and I dare to raise my hand in benediction of my family. That crucifix that you pick up, be it big or small, is quite heavy. And it takes muscle power, real muscle power. The strongest muscle power that you have in your arm to pick up that crucifix and bless your family. Next week, we hope to have, we found a little pamphlet here recently, and it was written a long time ago by a very worthy religious man, and we're going to duplicate it entirely and put it in next week's bulletin of the beauty of the paternal blessing of the family. My dear people, we have not been involved in all that is going around and taking place, as so many millions of people have been in recent weeks. And we have been blessed. We have not necessarily been directly affected. I'm not going to take your valuable time to describe it to you, because you know more about it than I do. But at least you can see the horrendous anguish and suffering and dying and accident and misfortune and you absolutely every possible conceivable thing under the sun taking place. We have been blessed, all of us, and not having had to endure that. But some of us may have relatives that have been affected. The streets of Babylon, and I'm not locating myself in one area. Forget that. Babylon is wherever you look today. But the streets of Babylon are inundated under filthy, vile waters. And you cannot take a step without being in that filth. Your homes are the most wonderful place on earth for you. Do not be addicted to noise. Too many of us are addicted to noise. Something has to be going on in our houses all the time, night and day. We don't even want to turn the noise off at night when we are in bed, because the silence frightens us. Turn the noise off. What does the noise have to give you but temptation, distraction, ugliness, murder, rapings, and everything else that you can think of? That's what the noise has to give you and us. If you will but just simply try silence in your house, in your home, for a few times, you will see how absolutely blessed it is. Of course, we live in a monastery here, and silence is supposed to be all the time. But of course, as small as we are and as struggling as we are to survive and to continue and to develop, during the day, the silence is not quite as it ought to be. But at night, after the Compline prayer, as for me, I speak for myself, and silence comes completely into the house, I hunger each day for those moments at night when the house is totally at rest, totally silent. Those are the most beautiful moments of my day. I have to admit, but this is all right. I'm not complaining. And don't anybody go home thinking that I am complaining. The telephone does interfere sometimes. But that's all right. People call me who are in need during those hours, and we have to respond. It would be utter selfishness on our part to simply say to Mrs. Whoever, please call me tomorrow. Don't bother me at this time. We don't feel that way, my beloved people. If whoever it is that calls us needs to call us because of a problem, yes, it interferes with the silence. It interferes with the serenity. So be it. It would be selfishness on our part to slam the phone down in the face of whoever in need at that moment. But in your own homes, try some silence. Turn the TV off. I do not say from here to get a sledgehammer after it. I don't say that. I don't say taking a sledgehammer after your computer set or your internet or whatever. But I am saying, use them with discretion. And parents, if you have the internet in your homes and your houses, do not underestimate the clever ability of your young'uns to know how to use the internet. I mean that. And do not think that the young'uns, your beloved children, do not know where to turn things to. And you also know that whereas there is a lot of good on it, it is also the sewer. Keep your eyes open. Parents, do your duty. And children, when your parents tell you to turn it off, turn it off. And keep it off. And if your father and your mother tell you turn that off, as far as you are concerned, children, as far as you are concerned, the voice that you have heard telling you to turn that off was the voice of Almighty God Himself telling you. And simply because your father or your mother have gone elsewhere in the household, and as soon as their footsteps get out of your hearing, you turn it right back to where it was. Him who spoke to you by the voice of your father is still there looking and judging. Be obedient. Do what your parents tell you to do. This is an obligation that you have to do. And parents, you have to see to it that it is observed. There's something in today's bulletin, and I will call it closed, because I've been getting some congratulatory messages lately on my wonderful sermons, when either no sermon was involved or somebody else preached in my place. So I take the congratulations and I enjoy them. But in today's bulletin, as all bulletins, please study them. We speak of confession today in the bulletin. There is the tendency, noticeable tendency in confession. The priest is the one who notices it, or should notice it. That confession by some people, the sacrament of penance by some people, is used as somewhat of a legal instrument. We've committed a sin, whatever, so we quickly go to confession because we know that sin has disrupted sonship. It has disrupted the state of grace. So we rush to confession to reestablish sonship and to reestablish the benefits, we think, that sonship has to offer. That's not the purpose for going to confession. And those who do go to confession that way can be heard to say from time to time, I hope that I will be in good shape at the moment of death, which means I hope that I will be legally all right when I come to death. If legalism is the best that we have to offer Jesus Christ, who died for us in the most ignominious kind of way, if legalism is the best that we can give, we do not deserve anything better than a legal judgment. Might sound harsh, but if we cannot go to Almighty God and face Him with absolute contrition of heart and remorse and determination for amendment, and determination for amendment, my beloved people and young folks, determination for amendment means purely and simply, I will do my utmost not to do that again. And mean it. Even though you say, I know I'm going to fall, so what? And fall. And get off of your high horse of pride. and tell your God that you're sorry and that you will try again and again and again. Not because we seek legal judgment, but because I know that my sin has hurt love. And I am on my knees to love, not to the priest, but to love. And I am telling wounded love, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I will do my best not to do it again because I love you. That is where it all is. If we do not know love, if we do not comprehend love, then nothing that comes forth from this spot in the world will have any significance or any meaning. Love is where everything is, my beloved people. My beloved people.